Get him, D.
All right, welcome back. Coffee, blunts, and donuts.
Okay. Episode, what's this, number 4?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're chugging along. It's your co-host, Natasha Tamara.
It's your boy, ITS.
We're here for some rich, well-rounded discussions from a higher perspective as I spill weed all over the table.
I thought you were going to say an elevated point of view.
Elevated point of view, higher perspective, just way up. The higher level. That's what we on this podcast. So what is the deal? Episode 4. Look at us.
Crazy, right?
I know. It was all a dream. As Biggie would say, it was all a dream.
I was going to see, and I'm thinking Martin Luther King. Just gave me a brown bag.
Keep the brown bag with the drink and the cup.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking reality TV.
The beginning stages of reality TV.
Yes, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know? Ratchet TV that you just can't look away from.
It wasn't ratchet back then, though.
Nah, it wasn't ratchet.
It got there. Today's climate, it brought it there. You know, shit, right? That leads us into our guest today, too.
We have a special guest here today. Special guest, OG of reality TV.
Like, she's on one of those shows that is the reason why you get to Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Basketball Wives.
Love and Hip Hop.
All them shows, they paved the way.
Part of the original, like, why they know the drama sells. Like, you got to have, like, a little bit of action.
Yeah.
It got to be popping.
Yeah. Like, She had the smack heard around the world back in 1999.
God. Are we aging them?
You can age me. What? Age me, please.
Hold on. We're not there yet. We didn't even tell them who you are yet. We getting there. Hold up.
Y'all remember MTV Road Rules? This is the guest we have today. They're celebrating 25 years of being on their season. She was on season 7, again, back in 1999, Latin America, Road Rules, Latin America. She lasted a few episodes and had to depart a little early.
We'll get into that. Famous Songs was made by her departure.
Yeah, we'll get into all this. So definitely give a special shout-out welcome to our guest, Gladys Sanabria from Road Rules.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me here.
Thanks for super, being on super the excited. Podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited. I'm super excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, it is 25 years and so much has taken place.
Crazy.
For sure. Everything that's happening now, like you just said, didn't look at myself as one of the grandparents,
but reality TV.
Right. Like, but real talk, Bunim and Murray, you know, did their thing. And most of the reality TV you see today comes from that group. So I'm just, I always knew I was going to be a part of something, but I didn't know it was going to be that big.
You definitely left your mark. That's for sure.
This is the beginning stages of it too. Also, you said episode, season what?
Season 7, way back in 1999.
Yeah. And I did other shows with them. Like, I did Battle of the Sexes, too. I came back for hosting for them as well. You know, it was a big thing. It was a big thing for everybody. Like, it was, you know, for me, it was huge. I didn't know it was going to go down that way. And at that time, no, it was not, you know, scripted or anything like that. It was real people coming together.
Very raw. Now, and I was going to say that because that's how, like, when you look at today's reality TV, you feel like, you know for sure, yeah, you're going to get some action. You're going to get some fights. You're going to get some drunkenness. You're going to get everything off the wall. And was it different back then? Like, were they supplying? Like, today we know they supply. Because all the reunion shows, they, like, hey,
they were encouraging
they kept giving us alcohol. Did they do that back then? But you guys were also driving, though, correct?
Well, yeah. So our show, you know, Rotors was about seven people coming together and traveling through whatever country they picked. And for us was Mexico. So we had like a lot of rules that we had to follow behind the scene, you know, but right. that was the atmosphere. That's casting. Like, you know, if we get down to it, like, you know, right. the casting, what's going to be like, you know, what's going to bring the most ratings and, you know, I didn't know it at that time that it was going to be about wanting to have like that type of drama more than just the real drama from people coming together that don't know one another, different cultures to right. atmospheres, tax brackets, all of that stuff. You can get just natural drama, not drama.
Racism, like mm-hmm. people that grew up like just never been around
yeah.
different ethnic groups.
Yeah, but you know what? That was never my thing because born and raised in Cambridge, Massachusetts, the right. world
shout out.
Comes to our city to go to right. school, to be educated. So growing up for me, I went to school with all different ethnic backgrounds to different religious, you know, perspectives and what have you. So I always grew up around the world. It's coming out of Cambridge at that time where shit was like very still diverse, like, you know, right. East Boston is East Boston. North End is North End. Like, you know, now you can like, you know, when I come to come back home now, like nothing is the same, like everything is a melting pot, which is great, like, you know, but during that time, yeah, no, the reality show was a real experience. And I feel today I watch some things, but I don't like watching a lot of things because of that type of drama that they want people to illustrate with, you know, the liquid courage, alcohol, like, you know what I mean?
I feel like they didn't even call it reality TV back then. It was just a TV show.
No, it was like, it was reality. It was
it was definitely reality, yeah. but it wasn't reality. Like now
it's like scripted. That's a whole reality.
There's a whole category.
Yeah, scripted.
Yeah. It's like back then I remember being in high school and we're like, yo, Gladys is on TV. Like, oh shit, because we're all from the same city. We're like, yeah. yo, Gladys is on TV. It wasn't like, yo, Gladys is on Love and Hip Hop. Everybody's on Love and Hip Hop. Like, yo, like, it's totally different now. Back then, it was, like you said, it was very big. Like, Slash on MTV, yeah, of all yeah. things. So it's like,
it's huge.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now, did they pay you guys for that?
So they did. I mean, and it for me, it was funny because for Road Rules, like, you know, at the beginning, they take everybody's money. Like, you know, and everybody's like, you know, credit cards, parents' credit cards. I came up with tokens. Like, listen, I'm gonna need these tokens to get back on the MBTA when I get home. Like, you know what I mean? But it was one of those things that you like. They did pay us, but we couldn't spend that money on the road. We had to make our money on the road. So that was like working with right. one another, working with our team to be able to complete challenges together and things like that. So that was like, that was cool in a lot of ways, just because I mean, I've worked since I was, you know, a child at PBH, Philip Brookhouse. Anybody knows that? Like, you know what I mean? Crazy. Like, we went to camp there to going to becoming a junior counselor and all of that other stuff. But, you know, to get actually paid some for me at that time was like significant dollars. I was like, oh, okay, like just to travel.
Yeah, and paid to travel. Where did you go?
So so our show was Latin America. So we started off in Chihuahua, Mexico, and then traveled through Mexico. And then but they went on to Belize and Costa Rica. Yeah, so that was my show. So yeah.
They went on. So what took place to lead you not to go on any further? Because I think that you were probably the first one to probably get kicked off a reality.
No, I was
fighting.
Hold on, wait, I was pretty sure. I didn't realize that. See, she's been doing the research real quick. Because...
Yeah, no, I damn. Was. And truth be told, like, I really when it. So I got kicked off because
explain what happened.
Okay, so
and then we're gonna play a clip.
Okay, so I got into a physical altercation with one of my teammates, which Abe, and Abe and I from the very beginning, like I always looked at Abe because he was the youngest, like, you know, so he had that like, you know, my little brother type of spirit, like, you know, and I only grew up with boys. So it's all good for me to throw, like, you know, in that type of way. It was a WWF, you know, all that type of stuff. So anyway, but Abe was really at that time difficult for everybody to deal with, and nobody really wanted to speak to him. And the way that I like spoke to him, like, yo, chill, like, you know, it's not just about you, what have you. But the fight took place. There was a couple of things that happened before the actual fight, and behind the scenes, of course, like, you know, what most people don't realize, a lot of stuff takes place behind the scenes.
Yeah, so it doesn't get on camera.
They'll grab bits and pieces from other, you know, points throughout the trip, and then make kind of, or try to make a storyline, like, you know, and it's bigger now than it was actually then. But we didn't have to have a storyline because, you know, casting, like I said, like, you know, the casting is I was casted at the only Black person on the show, like, you know what I mean? Right. And back then they weren't really multicultural, like, at all. It was always five to six white people and one token Black person, like, you know what I mean?
And it's crazy where they always got them from, because it's like, now you're looking at, you know, we get the Black girl from the inner city, but she's also from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
In between
MIT and Harvard.
So
it ain't like we didn't go grab the girl from the Bronx.
Too deep.
Yeah, we didn't grab the girl from Mississippi. We grabbed, yo.
Yeah, well, but even in that, I mean, the interviewing process behind it, like, they ask you a lot of questions. It's not like, oh, right, you automatically get picked. Like, you know, before I even go between Abe and I, before the actual show took place, I had interviewed for Road Rules a year before, and I actually had went through the whole entire, you know, interviewing process, went to the finals. It was like 20 people, and I was a part of that. And when they didn't pick me, like, it was devastating for me. One, because
it was
like,
devastating for me as well. Let me just cut in real quick. Yeah. People don't know, this is my cousin, my sister. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was there when she didn't make that part. And she was doing my hair. She was braiding my hair, and she found out. And I don't know, all of a sudden the braids just got tighter and tighter on my head. I was like, oh my God, please, please. You didn't make it. Sorry. But go on.
Yes. So I didn't make it at all. And then, you know, it wasn't until like maybe 6 months later that I had found out, because I was living with family members at that time and I had moved out of the house, but I didn't know that they were looking for me for 6 months and had no idea. And so one of my cousins called me, and she was like, yo, you got to call these people. Like, you know what I mean? These people are looking for you. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So when I called them, they immediately was like, no, you don't even have to do the interviewing process, because it's a 3 month interviewing process. Right. So they were like, no, you don't even have to do it. We're going to get people that is, because it's all about fitting. Like, right, you know, fitting the right people together, fitting the people that, you know, may annoy the other person. And so they picked Abe because Abe was about being controversial. Like, he was about, you know, stepping on the line, like, you know what I mean? And pushing the envelope. And for me, I'm like, dude, you can do that all day, but you're not doing that with not all of us. Here. Like, you know what I mean? When they have rules, like when we were in Mexico, we had like security, like we called them, I don't know, the federales, like, you know what I mean? There was police actually that followed us all around because of the security measures.
Mexico must have been crazy in 99.
It was.
This is before 9/11, so you know the world was totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
Mexico must have been crazy.
Well, the thing is what people don't recognize when, you know, and I'm just so grateful, like, for the show, because the show really brought me out of the New England states, like, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? It allowed me to see another country and the beauty of that country and the simplicity of, you know, not having paved roads. Like, the, like, oh shit, we're on the highway and there's a whole bunch of cows crossing the highway type of a deal. That, like, you know what I mean? Yet we're also in a place that when it comes to breaking rules, like, you don't want to do overseas, like, you know, and Abe that individual, like, you know, we had a phone in the car, like, you know, like a whatever, and that was one of the rules, like, we couldn't be on the phone. But when he got driving, he wanted to be on the phone. And the thing with the rest of my cast, I can say, I always had to get, I was always the last one getting paired up with Abe, which I didn't mind because Abe and I had this love-hate relationship. Like, I loved Abe, but I couldn't stand him because, like, at times he was just really arrogant. And mm-hmm. so the night that when the fight took place, we were already at a heads on behind the scenes. Like, I'm not okay. fucking with this dude. When we do things together, I'll do things because that's what we're all here to do. But off camera, what have you, I'm not fucking with him, like, at all. I don't, like, because that's it. Like, you know, like I said, I have brothers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I didn't grow up in a house like you don't hit girls. No, you hit your brother, you better, you're going to get hit back. Stop hitting. Like, you know what I mean? So for me, what took place was we had... the episode, I guess it was the episode that we were challenging the cast from the previous season, which was Australia. And so Australia came and, like, we were in, I think it was Venezuela Versailles or Mexico. And we had did a challenge there and Australia won. And Abe and Susie, which were the youngest from the cast, like, you know what I mean, ended up, you know, like, hanging out more, what have you. And because I am who I am, I'm a protector. Whether I know you or whether I don't know you, there are certain things that I feel as being, you know, born and raised in the inner city or just going through what I've gone through in my life that, like, I'm more aware of certain things that maybe somebody else is not aware of. So for me, I knew Susie was the virgin of her cast. She, after they beat us, everybody's in the hotel having a good time, what have you. And, you know, we're all drinking, having a great time. I go downstairs to our Winnebago to get my clothes. And lo and behold, Susie and Abe are in the Winnebago. And mm-hmm. so I felt a certain type of way because, wait, first of all, girl, you a virgin. Like, what are you doing in a Winnebago?
Wait, hold on, time out. So yeah. we're going to fast forward. Yeah. So this whole fight is over you hating?
No, it's not me hating.
Protecting. She was protecting.
I was protecting. Innocent virgin. And that's my thing, right? You know what I mean? Because I wasn't a virgin at that time. I was very sexually active. And, you know, I just felt like you don't put yourself in a position that you're not acting okay. in, right? So for me, when I went upstairs, I told her cast, her team, like, you know, and it was all the girls that were standing around, Sarah and Holly and the girls from the other show. And I was like, yo, check it. I'm telling you right now, I just met Sarah and Holly. If Sarah or Holly was a virgin and they were downstairs with somebody that they didn't know, no, I'm grabbing them up. Like, nah, you don't put yourself in a position that you're not ready for. So that was the behind the scene of why the next day the fight takes place, right? Because now everybody is oohing and ah and like, ooh, what did you and Susie do?
But oh, to Abe, you was hating.
I wasn't hating.
To Abe, you was hating.
No, because Abe brought it to a different bit. Space. Like
Later.
No,
but
even during
he was
it.
Mad at you the whole time because you were kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, in his mind, because they were all intoxicated.
Yeah.
He just met her. He's looking for a quick one-night stand.
Yeah, and if Susie, was it Susie or Sarah? Sarah?
Susie.
Susie, if mm-hmm. Susie wanted to get down her virginity to Abe.
Well, you know, that wasn't the case. And she wasn't, well, that was the whole entire thing. That was Susie's. The American virgin, like, oh, nobody really can have her, but she
that was
like,
her story.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know, let was. Me, oh, like, you story. Know, be cute mm-hmm. and bubbly because for Susie.
You saved her storyline.
Well, not even because Susie's storyline was already created in being that whole wholesome white girl from, you know, a great family, you know, very Christian and is coming out into the world. And, you know, and for me,
I
didn't even have to understand that in the aspect of like, nah, don't put yourself in a position. Like, you know, that is where I was on the overall coming from because I already knew Abe and Abe is a dickhead. Like, you know, he was, excuse me, Abe, I don't know if you're a dickhead now, but hopefully you're not because you got four girls. Like, you know what I mean?
It all comes back around.
So it all, karma. Like, you know what I mean? So in that, So in that case, yes, because Abe was hard. No, really, Abe was hard on the show. He played out like the whole woman bashing, like, you know, like he didn't like a strong woman. He had a lot to say because once again, that's why they brought him to the show, to be that type of individual.
And he was playing up to that character.
He was playing. And I said to him, I was like, yo, Abe. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm a firecracker. Like, you know what I mean? You can only do so much. And then we're going head to head, like, you know. And so that day, everybody's talking about it. Now, you can see in the video, like, I'm packing up my shit. I'm already annoyed. Like, you know what I mean? I had some shit going on the show that wasn't showed. Like, you know what I mean? I ended up having a whole miscarriage on the show and had surgery and everything in Mexico. But at the same time, this other stuff has taken place. And so I just didn't want to be involved. Like, so my thing was like, nope, once we tape, we're taping for this. When we're not taping, I'm not fucking with him. I'm not in a space. So as where everybody's talking about it, and I say, yo, Abe, I find that really like something like it's disgusting. Like, first of all, you were in our quarters. You were in the bed that I sleep in. You had all of our dirty shit out just for you to have something that
because
you didn't
have. Because you guys were roommates?
Well, or? Because we were on the Winnebago. Oh, like, the you Winnebago. Know what I mean? Okay, so yeah. Abe and I always had to, like, there was the Winnebago kind of expanded and people had their own, like, sleeping arrangements. But Abe and I always had to sleep together. Like, you know what I mean? There was only one bed that two people had to sleep with. And it was me and Abe.
I'm going
to
interject one more time and say, maybe he was hating a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I can take that. Fuck that. Like, I wasn't hating.
Because also, you're mad, you're like, yo, this is wild.
It's, you know, honestly, I've always been the type of person, I don't care if like I said, I know you or not. If I see something's wrong.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah, no,
like,
no, no. I'm not saying they're intoxicated. I get that whole part.
Like, you know, and then my concern was, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, if this is what your people are saying about you, like, this is what you do. I didn't know that at the time. I was just more of like, yo, I know that we're all partying, but your girl's downstairs. Like, it's that whole entire thing. Like, if we all go to the club together, we're all fucking leaving together. Call me a hater or not, but we're all leaving. Sorry, I don't get a license plate number. Whatever the case is, that's who I am. Like, you know, so that's who I was there.
She was doing.
And
Abe said
some shit to me. And in him saying shit, he wasn't talking shit about, like, you know, coming hard on everybody else. Right. He came hard on me. And I was like, yo, real talk, I will fucking take you in the streets and beat you like your mother never did. Because that was Abe's anger towards women. Yeah, that was Abe's hate towards women at that time, was because the pain that he had from his mom. So any other, like, with a woman, it was always like belittling or like, you know, poking and prodding. And excuse me, during the time too, there was a little like romantic fling with one of the members in our group, and Abe with another girl. So I was like, this dude is doing the most. But anyway, I don't hate because
you got go the ahead. Clip?
Yeah, we're gonna play the clip.
So,
hold on one second. Before you explain this real quick,
I can pass you my phone.
Hold it to the mic. Okay.
Yeah, no. No way you guys can see it. So you're going to have to use your imagination.
Well, you play it, right?
Go ahead.
What people don't understand in the cutting and I got pissed off because while I'm packing to leave, Abe is doing his thing, like, you know, talking shit, right? But he calls me a psychotic black bitch. And that's like, I'm going to show you a black psychotic bitch.
And so that's what happened. So let's see.
He's like, oh, I like you and laying in the bed with you. I'm sitting here trying to confront you and saying why I don't like her. And you're getting all.
Because you have no right to say anything. You have absolutely no right to say anything.
I do have a right to say something. She has no class. She's a virgin that she needs to act like one and not be like, oh, I like you and laying in the bed with you. Excuse me, that's no class. No class, whatever. You can't deal with it. Sorry.
You're the one who can't deal with it. You're the one that has to twist around every single freaking statement you say.
Abe, I can take you out on the street and beat you like your mother never did. Yeah,
see, that's what has to degrade to with you, doesn't it?
That's what my mom would say.
Because you can't deal with any emotion. It's so much better for
feisty. You really scared me, Gladys. Oh no, oh no. A psychotic bitch is gonna come after me. Oh no.
Call me a bitch again. Call me a bitch again.
Call you bitch as much as I want to call you.
Let it go.
Couldn't let it go, y'all.
All right, there we go. Hold up, hold up. So obviously, just putting the pause on him at this time.
Stop that.
It's over. I just want to hear that part.
You're out of here. Now, at that time, I didn't think I was out of there, right?
Truth be told.
After I just donkey kicked him. Like, you know what I mean?
Was because, set up, like, because he knew right away, like, you're out of here.
Well, no, right?
Because I'm sure they told him no fighting. You get off.
But they say a lot of things in the contract. And that was before, you know what I mean? But wait, simultaneously, our show is being taped the same time the reality, our brother show, which is a sister show, Real World, Seattle, and one of the cast members smacked a chick in her face.
So I knew for me,
I wasn't getting kicked off. One, because the production past shows never got involved. The people that got voted off was Puck and David. Like, those were the only two people that got voted off. Nobody ever got kicked off. I got kicked off, like, you know, and what I now know is the reason why they felt like they needed to let me go was because of the fact that I had a surgery and they felt like I was being way too emotional and that part and all of those things. So behind the scenes, like I said, like, you know, there's so much that takes place, but I didn't feel like I was emotional because I had surgery. No, I was ready to kick his ass. Like that, that just bottom line, because he had already disrespected so many people throughout the, I was in, so Road Rules is 8 weeks. I was there for 4 weeks.
Living in a van, right?
Half time.
So you can either have the option, if you make enough money, to, you know, get a hotel, or you can stay in the Winnebago. So there was times that we stayed in the Winnebago, and there was times that we had enough money to stay in a hotel, like, you know. But yeah, like that was that. And like I said, I just knew my cast, my team, they loved me. So I was like, I'm not fucking going anywhere. Like, everybody's been waiting for you to get your ass kicked. And then that was the biggest, that part, you know, at that time when they did tell me, I was devastated. Y'all, I was so devastated, because not only did I feel like I missed a really good opportunity and couldn't, like, deal with, you know, just shut in my mouth and not saying anything, but integrity and morals are, like, you know, just took that stance. And in that, like, you know, I was really upset that I had to go. But what also came from that was, you know, I knew that Real World wasn't making that much ratings before Latin America. They wanted, Road Rules didn't have that much ratings. They wanted it to be like Real World. So Latin America really put Road Rules on the map as far as the ratings that shot up. Why? Because it was a physical altercation. Why? Right. It was between a black girl and a white boy, and who's getting kicked off? Like, you know what I mean? And why? And all of this other stuff, like, you know, and for me, it was devastating. It wasn't only just devastating for me. It was devastating for the production behind the scenes. Like, you know, everybody was really, really sad about it. Like, you know, so I was just worried that, like, damn, this is about to air and I'm going to be typecast as the angry black girl from the ghetto. Like, I didn't want to be that. Like, you know, because it wasn't that. It was just more of like, nah, you don't get to, you know, be completely outrageous and antagonize and attack people with your words. And, you know, yes, like, I mean, today somebody can call me a fucking bitch and I'll be like, okay, like, you know, today somebody can call me a psychotic black bitch.
We grow, and you mature, and
I can accept, like, yeah, I may be a fucking bitch to you and I'm all good with that. Like, you know what I mean? I'll be that, like, you know, but then it was a time that being called a bitch was really disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I don't even like when I hear women call each other like bitch, like this. And I'm like, yikes. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, that slap is immortalized. Like, there's rap songs about it.
Yeah. That sound, the like, soundtrack was like that Queen Latifah. Who you calling a bitch? U-N-I-T-Y. They like played that every time with her.
No, but I'm talking about like, definitely. No,
there's quotes and shout outs and
yeah, I mean, got a song.
Gladys. I mean, I they you honestly, y'all, like I like to this day, like it's so crazy. Even when people like recognize or like, wait, you were that? Like, I never there was probably two girls that hated on me when I moved out after the show. I had moved out to Los Angeles, and I had worked at a Giuseppe Frankel. It's a Beverly Hills hair salon. And I remember two girls coming in like, that's that bitch from, you know, poo poo poo. And I was like, oh, this is the first time I'm getting like hate on it. But that's real talk. You made it. But every, no, but it was the craziest thing because everybody loved me. And everybody, I mean, like people, like when I moved to Los Angeles, I moved to Los Angeles one because I was able to house sit for one of the produce he was a director at the time, became a producer, and loved Bruce. Bruce passed away. But anyway, Bruce asked me to come house sit for him, so I ended up going out to California and stayed out in California for like over like 12 to 13 years, and in that, like, I was able to be like on the scene, and it was so crazy for me because I didn't realize how much people knew me. Like, you know, like I, right. Like, yeah, I remember one of the first celebrities that, you know, reached out to Buna McMurray to get in touch with me was Sinbad. I love Sinbad. I hope Sinbad's doing well. But he reached out to me and he was like, yo, I feel like you got a bad rap on the show and I want you to come work for me. He used to do the soul music festivals in like, you know, on different islands and just bring like a whole bunch of R&B singers from back in the day, what have you, and have this huge festival. So he invited me out to St. Thomas. And of course, my cousin, my beautiful cousin, Tina, Natasha's mom, like, you know, she's like, mama, you need to be careful. What is he calling you out there for? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, make sure he does not want to be your girl. You don't need a boyfriend that older. And I was like, no, he sounds like real.
Uncle Sinbad.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But Sinbad was real. Like, you know what I mean? And his kids loved me. And his kids wanted me, like their dad, to do something special for me. Like, you know, which was like love and peace. But when I got to the fucking St. Thomas, like there was over like 6,000 people there, like, you know, big names too. Back then it was like Halle Berry, Tyson Beckford, to El DeBarge, and all of these like Chaka Khan. Like, it was so insane that, you know, I remember going behind backstage and El DeBarge, like, oh, El DeBarge for me growing up, what are you talking about? Like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, El DeBarge is, and I'm just crying, like, you know, any kids, because I'm like, how do y'all even know me? Like, this is the craziest shit. Like, I was sitting at home, taking out my hair in high school, looking at Real World and being like, yo, I can be on one of those shows. Why wouldn't they pick me? Like, you know, and then actually getting on and then having this experience. I mean, just like a year ago, I woke up in the morning and Spirit was like, Google yourself. And I was like, me? Why would I do that? Like, I Google myself and I'm like, oh shit, a bitch is still relevant. Like, who's the top people as far as women in as far as reality? And I was one of those women. And I'm like, yo,
memorable.
Fucking crazy. Like, you know, and it was crazy because it was just me. It was just like, you know, I wasn't like, you know, like trying to be someone else. I wasn't trying to get ratings. I was really trying to vibe with everyone that was there because everyone was having that experience. And it was.
Now, was you guys chasing ratings?
No.
Not back then. Like today, they're definitely chasing ratings.
Not back then.
But that was the biggest thing for, you know, I feel like me getting kicked off was for them to boost up the ratings, right? Mm. Because like I said, simultaneously, Seattle was fucking recording. They didn't kick Steve off. They didn't kick, like, you know, the people that, but they kicked me off without my my team voting me off because nobody wanted me to go. Like, even Abe at the, like, you know, a week or two later, they were like, can we get Gladys back? Can we, like, you know, and they were just like, no. And then that's when they had told the rest of the cast, because at the time the cast didn't even know that I had, you know, surgery in Zacatecas, Mexico, like, you know, so it was deep on so many levels. So that's why I like think even in today's reality, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And then it's really dangerous now because of the fact that everybody is craving the wrong type of drama, the wrong type of attention. Like, you know what I mean? And what you're seeking, like, you know, and for me, it wasn't about me seeking the wrong type of attention or being on the show. The show for me was like, because I didn't go to college. All of my friends were going to college. This was my way out of Cambridge. Like, okay, you know, how do I get out of Cambridge like and not like bust my ass like everybody, like, you know, that I know, like, you know, you have to work, what have you, but how do you leave, like, you know, if you're not in school? So Road Rules was my school, like, you know, and that opened up the door for me to be able to, you know, live in other places, travel, see things, like, you know, the people that we watched growing up on television, I was now in their houses watching their children, like, you know what I mean? Nannying to all types of stuff. So, like, you know, when I see celebrities or I see, you know, what's on television, for me, it's not what it looks like. It's what it feels like. You know, you can have all the greatest shit in the world, but be a miserable motherfucker. Like, you know what I mean? You can.
Oh, you see that every day.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, but the culture today is life. It's like, but that's okay.
What do you think social media takes a part?
So I'm really,
I believe social media takes a big part.
Oh, definitely.
Well, because it's easier for people to.
And this whole reality.
Well, behind the scenes, it's easy for people to talk shit and not, like, you know what I mean? That you couldn't talk shit in somebody's face back in the day. Today is you can talk shit, but it's all behind the screen, like, or it's all about for something else. And for me, that's never a good thing because
or you can use a filter.
Do you keep in contact with any of the cast members?
I mean,
or anybody from MTV?
Well, this is the thing with me, cuz, and you already know, if you know me, you know me. Like, it doesn't matter if I don't speak to you for years. If we pick up the phone and we speak today, it's all fucking love. And I love my people from Real World and Road Rules. The people that I've met, I love the people that helped pave the way for me behind the scenes. Like, you know, there was the Boom people, Ryan, like, you know, to Bruce, like, those people really gave me, like, yo, we want you to experience other parts of the world outside of what you know. And I'll be forever grateful. Like, you know, I never regret getting kicked off the show. In the beginning, I was like, you know, one of the cast members, were casting directors, was like, Gladys, it's okay, after I got kicked off. And I knew everybody got the Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah. The shit was all new and stuff. And then he was like, Gladys, it's okay, don't worry, just ride this out. No, motherfucker, I would have been riding it out in a motherfucking Volkswagen Beetle. Later. Like, you know what I mean? Now I can't.
You off and gave you the beat,
like,
right,
you know,
away.
What I mean, like, but, and then I say all the time, yeah, everything happens for a reason, right? Because real talk, when I got kicked off, one of my favorite aunts passed away, and I wouldn't have been able to be at her funeral if I was still on the show, like, you know what I mean? So when things happen in your life, you can either take it in a way that, like, oh, like, it stays with you, and then it, you know, then you, however you behave, it's because, oh, this happened. But no, like, I really feel like everything that happened to me or has happened to me is in my greatest benefit, you know, whether it's good or bad, because it's learning, like, you know.
If you could go back to that day and do it all over again.
I'd do the same thing.
I knew that was going to be the answer. I'm like, I knew that was going to be the answer.
It would go on again. pat, Pete, Gladys.
Nori. Speaking of, we're going to play that little clip.
Okay, sorry.
She got a shout out from Noriega in his song when she first came out, the Oh No song. Let me get back to the clip. Hold on.
Tosh played everything through her phone today for some odd reason.
I'm sorry. Didn't Justin just tell me I could do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you.
Stay fucking with Gladys. You're the whole The bitch's ass is the fattest. Smack, 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 smack. Peep Gladys. If you don't know, yo, then I don't know. I'm gonna get some head.
It's like, if you don't know, no, then I don't know. When that line came out, we were like, whoa, he's definitely talking about Gladys. That was a smack, smack. That's only Gladys who smacked around somebody that we know. It has to be her. Shout out Noriega.
Check it. It was my auntie Paulette that calls me like, you know Noriega's rapping about you, right? And I'm like, Noriega? Auntie, how do you even know about Noriega? Gladys, just listen to the song.
I was like, whoa, you said her name. So yeah, definitely memorable. You definitely go down in reality TV history. You've definitely left your mark. So don't ever think twice and know you're... You paved the way. Reality TV is the new thing. I am smoking. What you smoking on? Are y'all smoking?
I'm about to smoke too.
Were you able to smoke on the show?
I'm a stickler for, you know, when it came to rules, because I wasn't trying to get arrested in fucking Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, and honest truth be told, I really wasn't a weed smoker then anyway. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't smoke bud like that. But the rules were we couldn't do drugs, like, you know, but one of the episodes we had to fight with, we had to do, bullfighting. And the matador, the professional matador that, you know, that was our guest, like we were his guests, like we had to stay at his ranch and shit. And he was like famous in Portugal, fucking Spain, all these places. But his whole entire crew was all coked up. Like, and I was like, yeah, no. like, you know what I mean? But at one point, like, I remember when I was in the bullfighting ring, like, you know, they was like, I guess I was one of the, you know, I wasn't the Josh and Holly were the matadors, and we were the, like, the people to get the bull's attention. But I remember I was behind this wall and I was freaking out because the bull is like coming, what have you. And I was like, what the fuck? This is fucking crazy. Like, you know what I mean? But mind you, I'm behind the wall. And then I go to look down and there was this huge black spider. And I was like, ah! And I'm running because I didn't want, like, I want, the bull was coming and then the spider. So the guy, the matador, is like, Nina, mama, get basa. This is not my culture. I watch Chicago Bulls. I don't fight bulls. Like, but it was all about, like, you know, here, take a shot. You want to do, like, nah. And I was like, yeah, nah, I'm not really, you know.
Right. Yeah, in Mexico in 99.
Yeah, and y'all had to be active. Y'all had to do, like, real activities. Mm-hmm. It wasn't real world. You can just chill out. They had to do challenges and stuff.
Yeah.
And you ended up coming back on a challenge, though. Right?
Yeah, I did I hosted a couple of challenges. And then I the last show that I was actually on was Battle of the Sexes. And I was pregnant at that time.
First person to be on the challenge, pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another record holder.
And now Zia, like my son, is now, he'll be 21, like this, the end of this year.
Yeah, 21.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? Yeah, I'm grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a lighter, y'all.
Feels like just yesterday, right?
Hell yeah.
You are.
It's like.
Yeah, so what's Gladys doing now?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
You come in full circle.
Well, yeah.
Trip, no?
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you, that's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. So on Road Rules, and one of the questions for me, for everybody, like, I guess, but this is one of the questions that I remember a lot. Like, it was like, you know, if you can meet three people in the world, who would it be? And at that time, I didn't know my father's oldest brother, Chris. And I knew he had, you know, been adopted out, but we never met him. So he was someone that I had said, I would like to meet my brother, Chris, like, you know. And so because it's coming up on 25 years of, like, just, you know, reality, what have you. But my brother, Chris, I ended up meeting, and he found the family in 2005. So we just celebrated his 50th birthday this past weekend. And this Friday, I take off to Costa Rica with him. So and that's the beauty of it, because I was like, yo, like, oh shit, I was supposed to be in Costa Rica 25 years ago, and I never made it. And I didn't make it for the reasons that I didn't make it for. And now I can go with the person that I was wishing to meet. Like, you know, and so that's like, that's powerful in itself. So yeah, I take off with my big brother, Chris, this Friday to Costa Rica. So I'm super excited. Yeah. So, I mean, who, like, what am I doing today? I'm the same, like, you know, trying to live my best life, being a better version of me every single day. I hope, you know, soon I can put a name to exactly who I want to be or what I want to be when I grow up. But the biggest thing is that I really try to be a really good person every single day, even in my baddest places. I try to shine light, I guess. So yeah,
you're doing that. Yeah. We appreciate you for coming for sure.
Well, thank you for catching up with us. And,
you know,
I'm super excited to even be here. Like, I'm like, oh, this is big stuff. Yeah, big stuff.
You sound great.
Yeah, so, thank you.
So that's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Another great episode. We gotta end it. You gotta let me know how you're feeling today. I know you're smoking on that blunt, but coffee, blunts, or donuts?
Blunts. All the time. Like blunts.
Another one for the blunts.
Yes.
Put it in the books. All right.
Yes.
Like, share, subscribe.